You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, please. And if you could silence your phones, that's a good idea. I think I heard someone silencing their phones. Yay, way to go. Today I've entitled our message, The Invitation, or Invitation. And we are going to break our verses up into four sections, the angel, the appointment, the answer, and the awe. And let's just pick it up in verse 26, and then we'll recap. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go towards the south, a long road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.'" Now, and notice it starts off in verse 26. It says, "Now." In other words, now, after seeing all that has happened, seeing the power of God moving, seeing God's Spirit at work, we saw that there was a great move of God's Spirit. People were being healed. Demons were being cast out. People are being saved. And amidst all of that, there's also a false convert, Simon the magician. Basically, he is a sorcerer of sorts. But he says he believes, and he begins to follow. And in his following, he must have said all the right things. He must have looked like the real McCoy in order to be following like he was. Until one day, out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth spoke. He said this, jump back to verse 13. "Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done." Now this Philip, remember, he was one with Stephen, and that's who we're looking at in this chapter. It's basically Philip's chapter. He was one of the seven that they chose to wait on tables to serve people. He and Stephen, was in the previous chapter, and he was stoned to death. But he did some incredible things, and now we're on Philip. And so here this Simon, the warlock, the magician, the wizard, whatever you want to call him, is following, and he's amazed. He's seeing people just changing. He sees miracles. He sees signs, and he's like, wow, this is awesome. And then in verse 17, it says this, "Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." So Peter comes from Jerusalem, and they lay hands on him. He says, "Listen, it's great that you believe in the Lord, but now we want you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." He lays hands on him, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this Simon, the magician, goes, "Wow, that is powerful." In verse 18, he says, "Then Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" Basically, he says this, "You and your money can go to hell." And listen, I like what Brent said the other day. He was talking to me. He goes, we read the Bible way too politely. And we just take it, you know, okay, no, listen. There's some harsh statements sometimes in Scripture. But listen, Peter has had it with this guy. He's a false convert, and all he thinks is he can buy the Holy Spirit. You cannot buy the Holy Spirit. You cannot buy your way into membership of a church, of the Church of Jesus Christ. You must be born again into the body of Christ. And so he says, hey, your money perish with you. And then, of course, we saw that Simon didn't repent. And how do we know this? Verse 24, "Then Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. Notice he says, pray for me. What does that tell us? Listen, he believed, but he was not converted. And so he says, pray for me. He didn't have a relationship. He didn't repent and say, oh, please forgive me. Help me to live right. And in none of these things, he just says, hey, guys, pray for me that none of that stuff, going to hell stuff, will happen to me. He should have asked for forgiveness. And so here when we read, it says, and now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south. You have to understand that a lot has been going on. A powerful, powerful move of God in Samaria, of all places. The half-breeds, the Jews that are half-breeds, they're half-Jews and half-Gentile, they are looked down upon. They were considered to the Orthodox Jews the dregs of society, and God's Spirit is moving powerfully. And Peter and the gang, they go, hey, let's go down there and look what's going on. Man, God's Spirit is moving down there. Let's go down there. Let's also validate that this is authentic. And you would think that Philip would say, arise and go south. Why would I want to go a different direction? Lord, you're leading me this way. Listen, Lord, I see you working. Why am I going to go? Oh, this can't be God. Cannot be God. Well, what we're going to see here, folks, and this is so important. Until we obey, we will never get further instruction. Until you obey God, oftentimes Christians come to me and they say, well, I don't know what God has in store for me. Well, first of all, you don't need to know. You just need to obey. God will unfold it as we go. We don't need to get the info. Too many people won't move until they get info, and since God won't tell them what, they won't go. They won't move forward. They stay stagnant. But I want you to know this. When you and I are willing to move forward, even without knowing what God's will is for a situation, that's real faith. You go, what? Yeah, listen, Hebrews chapter 1, you probably know this, but if you want to turn there, you can. It's a very, very familiar verse, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So basically what he's saying here, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Listen, it's by the word of God that the worlds came into existence. So listen, if it's the word of God that framed the world, then why can't the word of God frame our lives? And so often, that's not what we do with the Word of God. We doubt the Word of God, we question the Word of God, and we definitely sometimes, most often, quench the Holy Spirit by not listening. Because what He's asking us to do often makes no sense at all. Huh. There's an invitation. There's an invitation today for you and I that we would trust God. There's an invitation that we would believe His plan. And there's an invitation for you and I to obey even if it doesn't make sense. We don't need to know the outcome. We just need to know He who is sovereign, and that by His word, the worlds are framed. Therefore, I don't need to see His plan. I just need to know and trust that He has a plan, even if it doesn't match my plan. In fact, it never matches my plan. But watch it. Look what it says. An angel. By the way, it's an angel, not the angel, not the definite article. It's just an angel. I say just an angel. I'm sorry, but that would blow my socks off. If an angel, any angel, the lowest angel in heaven, if he came and stood before us, our socks would be on the ceiling fan or something. an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Think about it, though. I get this. Why? It would take an angel to get him to leave. Why? To leave what? There's huge revival. I stand corrected. It's not revival. There's a huge awakening. Revival means you've been vived and you need to revive. These are people who are coming alive for the very first time. There's an awakening. There's a moving of God's Spirit. God is at work here. He has seen large masses come to salvation. It would take an angel to get him to go another direction. But now we will see that God isn't just concerned. I want you to know this. God isn't just concerned with massive salvations. God is also concerned with the one-on-one conversion. And that should be an encouragement to you and I. Why? God has an invitation to you today to be that one-on-one spokesperson for God. We are ambassadors for Christ to bring those one-on-one conversion. Philip is getting to hang with the big guns. He's getting to hang with the apostles. Remember, he was a table servant. He was a waiter. He waited on tables. Now he's hanging with the big guys. He's like walking around with Billy Graham and Greg Laurie of that time. And God says, no, leave them. Go another direction. Buy your lonesomes. Evidently, by the way, Philip gets caught up. Remember, he was sent to Samaria. The Holy Spirit told him to go that way. And he's following them. And evidently, he ends up all the way back in Jerusalem with them. But God wants Philip to leave this amazing work. And what does he want him to do? He wants him to go to the desert. Listen, if I were Philip, I'd be saying, send me an angel right now. Some of you got that reference, but that's okay. It's always songs. Okay. And so he says, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. I like what MacArthur records this. There were two roads from Jerusalem to Gaza. The Spirit commands Philip to take the one that is seldom used. Why is it seldom used? Because it's desert. He's going through Death Valley on foot. Now, what we don't see here is so important. You go, really? Yeah. Philip doesn't say, but we just started a church. I handed out flyers and everything. I posted pics on my Facebook. People are getting saved. He doesn't say, you know, I don't think this is Lord. God wouldn't want me to leave all this glory. This doesn't sound like God. No. What does Philip do? He goes. He accepts God's invitation. I love this. He accepts his invitation without hesitation. That is so important. No questions asked. He doesn't complain. He doesn't make excuses. And he doesn't procrastinate. Huh. It's hitting a little too home, too close to home for me. Excuses and procrastination, that should be my middle names. But I love what Psalm 37:23 says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. By the way, it says the steps of a good man. That's true for a good woman as well. The steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delights in his way. When you or I, as a good man or woman, walk in the ways of God, God delights in that. So what does that tell me when I'm not walking in his way? Not so delightful in God's eyes. Now, I want you to know this. Once he goes, once Philip is obedient, then, watch this, then the Spirit gives him the next step. Yeah. Listen, I don't know where you are with the Lord, but take that step. Find out what God wants you to do. Take that first step, and you don't need to know what the next step is. Just take step number one. God will take care of step number two. That's not your responsibility. It's our responsibility to align our lives up with God's word today. Tomorrow's glory starts with obedience today. Proverbs 16:9 says this: a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You see, I'm like you. I have desires in my heart. I have plans and goals and things I'd like to get done. But I also have come to recognize that I may have plans, but God wants to direct my steps. And sometimes the steps that God has me take are in the opposite direction of Randy's plans. And that's good. Listen, can I tell you this? If you don't go, you won't know. Listen, if you don't go, you won't know. If you don't go the direction God wants you to go, you won't know the glory he has in store for you. But Pastor Randy, I don't know what God wants for me. Don't worry about it. Just start going his direction. But his direction's so hard. Yeah, I know. Welcome to the club. The Christian walk can, at times, is difficult. But there's an invitation to you and I. And it's a simple invitation. It says this on the cover of the invitation. It says this: obedience. Obedience. When you and I walk in obedience, it leads to God's glory. So the invitation for us today is to be obedient. Go to the desert. By the way, he tells Philip to go to the desert to leave a mighty work of God. Wow. I get this. You know why? I was in Calvary, Houston. A rapidly powerful, it was just an awesome church. It still is. It's an awesome church. I was involved in youth ministry. The youth grew from about 25 kids to over 100 in 9 months. So it was awesome. And God said, Randy, time to go. And I was like, go where? And he said, go west. And I was like, West Houston, here I come. He goes, no, more west. More west? Am I going to California? Now, back then, about 15 years ago, California wasn't so bad. It wouldn't be very appealing now. Oh, Lord, please don't make me go there. But back then, I was like, Cali, you want me to go to California? No, too far. Come back. Okay, where do you want me to go? I want you to go to the desert. Oh. But listen, this all began with one step. One step in the direction God was calling me, even though it was opposite of the direction that my heart would have wanted to go initially. Now I wouldn't go anywhere else. Listen, one thing, I want you to hang this on your belt. One thing that God will never ask you to do. What's that, Pastor Annie? Violate his word. That's how you'll know that if something you think God is asking you to do, if it's accurate, you go, okay, is it going to violate his word? If your answer is no, then you better do it. But I don't like it. I don't care. In fact, the more difficult it is, the more glory God will get. So many people miss out on God's glory because, you know, that's just too difficult. Fine, then miss out on the glory. Doesn't mean you miss out on salvation. You just miss out on the glory. But it's so hard. I don't like it. Show me in the scripture where God says, what I'm going to ask you to do, you're going to like it. Isn't Jesus our ultimate example? Father, if there what, be any other way. In other words, I'm not liking this too much. But he said, nevertheless, thy will be done. Philip, here. I love, he doesn't complain. He doesn't say, I'm going to the desert by myself when I'm hanging out with Billy Graham and Greg Laurie. And we're seeing people get saved. And it's awesome and exciting. People, wow. And he wants me to go by myself into the desert. Let's look at the appointment in verse 27 through 34. So he arose and went the opposite direction God had told him to go. No. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. This is a black man. Once again, I want you to understand, with God, if you are a Christian, there is no room for racism, period. If you have racist thoughts, jettison those out of there. Ask God to forgive you, because he is not a racist. First, God takes his message to the Jews. Jesus gets crucified in Jerusalem. Then he takes it to Samaria, the outcast, a half-Jew, half-breeds, half-breeds. Now he takes it to a black man. And I love the fact that Philip goes. He doesn't care. He's got a heart like Christ. He sees a man. He sees women. He sees children. So here we have a convert to Judaism, and you'll see why we know he is a convert to Judaism, not to Christianity yet. Verse 27. So he rose and went, and behold, the man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, there is a lot to unpack here, but I'm just going to give you the Reader's Digest version. First of all, what do we know? Well, this is a powerful man, very wealthy, very powerful. He does the queen's bidding. He is under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. This name Candace, it's not like, you know, Candace Owen or Candace. It's not that. This is Candace is actually a title, like Pharaoh. So this is Candace. It's not her name. It's a title. Now, I want you to know this. He's a eunuch. A eunuch means he's had his man parts taken off. It's a horrible thought. But oftentimes, eunuchs were used as bed keepers, bed guards, superintendents of a bed chamber. In other words, oftentimes eunuchs would be the ones who would overwatch the king's harem. And the king would have him turned into a eunuch so that he wouldn't touch any of the king's property as he overwatched him. But this man isn't the guy who just watches over a harem. Why? Well, because he's under a queen. Normally, queens don't have, well, I don't know, but he's a eunuch. Notice, she gives him authority, but she emasculates him first. Wow. There's a principle here. I'm not going to go too far in it, but I'll just say this. There are some women that are like this. They like to let their man think they have authority, but they emasculate their men. Not good. Women, let your husband be the head of the house. Let him have the authority. Do not try to emasculate him. Not good. I'm going to leave that alone from there. We'll move forward. Because I've been emasculated myself. No. He's not in here. Thank God. Go ahead and tell her. She'll be here next service. I ain't holding nothing back. But he, look what it says. And he had come. Stop it. All right. Thank you, Lord. Father God, oh Lord, help me. Okay. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, notice this. He comes to Jerusalem from Ethiopia. Now, what does he find? He sees all the ritual. He sees the empty worship. He sees the legalism. He sees all the sacrifices. But what happens? Well, he has a true searching heart. He really does. And God says this in his word. You will search for me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I believe this Ethiopian, as we're going to see the outcome, is truly searching for God. He came to Jerusalem from Ethiopia. Now, I want you to know, at this time, in this culture, they believed Ethiopia was the end of the world. That not flat earth. Stop it. They believed, though, it was the furthest outreach of the earth. Now, that's interesting because that would take, by the way, travel time, probably a couple of months to get from Ethiopia to Jerusalem on chariot. Wow. This guy is devoted. He's really searching for God. Remember Jesus said to his disciples, he says, you will be witnesses of me in Judea, that's in Jerusalem, to the Jews, Samaria, and we saw that, right? They were just in Samaria, half Jews, and to the ends of the earth, Ethiopia. Right here, we're seeing it unfold. But this Ethiopian man, this eunuch, this leader, this powerful, powerful man is leaving empty and hungry. And he's probably thinking in his heart, there has to be more. Pastor Rennie, how can you say that you think he's thinking that? Well, look what it happens. Look, verse 28. He was returning, sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. When the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So he's reading the scripture. He just left Jerusalem. And he's reading the scripture. He's going through the desert. And the desert is a great picture of how dry and empty he feels. He is dry. You ever felt that way? Well, I'll tell you, so many people come to me, Pastor Randy, I just feel dry. I feel distant. And I'm like, well, are you diving into the word? Oh, no. Well, you could. Well, I pray before every Big Mac. Yeah, but you need the word of God. You need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So here's this guy. He just left all the ritual. He left the ritual of church. And he's on his own. He's in charge. He calls the shots. And the call he makes is to open the word and try and figure out what in the world is going on in his heart that he still feels as dry as the desert that's around him. Now, notice it says the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go overtake the chariot. Now you say, okay, well, think about this. He's a wealthy, powerful man. No doubt he's traveling with a caravan. It's 2 months worth of traveling about. That means he's going to have food, people to serve and cook the food, servants. Guess what else he's going to have? Security. He's powerful. And here comes this crazy fast Jew catching up to the chariot. Because the Spirit says, hey, go overtake that chariot. So he's booking down the road. Can you imagine the security? They pop to alert. Hey, there comes a crazy fast Jew coming up on the limo. It's on the left-hand side. This is like what the guy has. It's like a stretch limo. So Philip ran to him. And heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. So he's like just running beside there and the guy's reading and like doesn't even notice him. That's kind of interesting. I'd be freaking out. And said, look at this. Hey, you understand what you're reading? Wow, he just insinuated, hey, are you too stupid to understand what you're reading, bro? It's kind of what he said, but I like that. Listen, you ever run up on someone, maybe you're at Starbucks and someone has their Bible open? Don't assume they're a Christian. Say, hey, do you understand what you're reading there? No, do you? I was just asking. I'll see you later. Verse 31. Okay, here's a powerful eunuch. Powerful man. Look at the... Man, I love his humility. Look what he says. And he said, how can I unless someone guide me? What an amazing, humble heart. He didn't try to play. Of course I do. You know who you're speaking to? No, that's a teachable heart. God loves, hear me, folks. God loves a teachable heart. So many Christians, when you try to come to correct them or to show them something that is adverse to what they're believing, so often, boom, door slam. They're like, how old are you? Who do you think? And I'm just like, my dude, back off. I'm just trying to help. I'm going to force feed you or try and beat you over the head with the Bible. I spoke with someone just the other day and I prayed with them and I shared. And this is a person who, believes to be very mature and they didn't get a single word I said. And I'm like, well, you know, I finished the conversation. I said, well, Lord, it's up to you, man, because I can't, you know, I can't. But he says, yes. He says, how can I unless someone guide me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him in his stretch limo. Imagine that. Philip had no idea what God had in store for him. Now he's sitting with the ruler, the second in command, in charge of all the money of Ethiopia. By the way, Ethiopia at this time was incredibly opulent and wealthy nation at this time. Incredibly wealthy. So this guy is super. And here he is. Holy Spirit told me to come. Now I'm sitting in the limousine with, you know, Bill Gates, basically. The place in the scripture which he read was this. And watch this. Look at this. Is so important. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now, remember I said that I believe this guy was thirsting and that he was saying there had to be more to this? I don't think this was a coincidence that he's in this section of scripture. Why? Remember, he just went to Jerusalem. He was just there to worship. He probably saw thousands of sheep slaughtered, thousands of sacrifices, and he's going, gosh, what? So he comes here where it's talking about the sheep to the slaughter, and he's trying to make heads and tails out of this. Listen, this just something doesn't seem right here. We're missing something. It's actually a quote from Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. Now, know this. Anywhere in the scripture, when you take it in context, you'll find Jesus Christ, our Lord, proclaimed. Just about anywhere. Some of the scripture you may have to read a little further, but it always turns back to Jesus. Every aspect. That's why in John 5:39 it says this, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that which testify of me. That's this Ethiopian. He's searching the scripture because he wants eternal life. He said, like, I want something. I came 2 months, and I had 2 months before I go home. But it wasn't when I left empty. There's got to be more. It was with all the slaughter, and it didn't feel like it fulfilled anything. It just felt dead and cold and heartless. Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, you want to find life, but you're missing the point. Life is in me. You should look at the scriptures to find me. That's what Philip's going to tell him right here in a second. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 says this. Then I say, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. That's speaking of Jesus. The volume of the book is speaking of Jesus, who came to do the will of his Father. How awesome is that? And the will of his Father would be that he would live a sinless life and that he would then die in our stead so that you and I can then have eternal life. That's what the Philippians are looking for. That's the invitation that Philip's going to give him. Folks, do you have that eternal life? Are you as dry as the desert out there? You come to this church meeting, but you walk away going, there was something more missing. It's not that it's not missing. It's you need to embrace it. The Holy Spirit is here. God's word is being proclaimed. It's whether or not you and I embrace the truth or we dwell in ritual. So look what he asks. Verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Wow. Philip's got to be going, God, can this be any easier? All I had to do is, you know what you're reading? The guy's asking him the perfect, is this about this? Or is there somebody else? Well, I'm glad you asked. Yes, there is somebody else. Wow. Listen, when God leads you to do something, it starts off seeming very difficult. But as you begin to see God at work, you find out that it's not difficult at all. Coming here from Houston was difficult. But the church growing is all a work of God. I had nothing to do with it. It was easy. Not easy to maintain. Pastor position is hard. But the growth, it had nothing to do with me. This all happened. And I love that. And so he gets there. It was hard. It was hard to be obedient. But once he's there, he's riding in a limo with basically a king of Ethiopia, super rich guy, in his limo. And he's chilling. And the guy's asking him super easy questions. Let's look at the answer to the question in verse 35 through 38. Then Philip opened his mouth. There you go. And beginning at this Scripture preached Jesus to him. I love this. Philip did what? Opened his mouth. If you're going to share Christ, guess what? You have to open your mouth. But let me also say this. For some of you with mouths like I have, we need to open our mouths and use Scripture, not long, lengthy, drawn out tales of our sin and our past lives and this and giving a sermon. Give a sermon if you're at the pulpit. But if you're evangelizing, if you're sharing, if you're in a limo or in a chariot or in the desert or at the grocery store, keep it short and keep it spiritual by staying with Scripture. Notice he says this. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at where? This Scripture. Beginning at this Scripture, he opened his mouth. When we open our mouths, we should use a Scripture. Even if the only Scripture you know is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." If that's all you know, share it. It's way more powerful than anything you and I could share. Start with Scripture. Why? The Bible tells us faith comes by hearing. Hearing Randy babble on and babble on and babble on. No. That's why, you know, I've had people complain that I use too much Scripture. And I say, sorry. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So I'm going to use a lot of Scripture. Now, side note. When I was a new believer, I would ask God. I say, "God, what do you have in store for me today?" And I take my Bible and I flip it open and I point and I'd read. Ah, yeah. Now, listen, there were times when I first got saved that would work. And it'd be like, "Whoa, man, that was God. It's perfect for today. Woohoo!" But then one day God wanted me to grow up. And I opened my Bible and I went, boom, Genesis 27:11. Esau was a hairy man. Well, no. Okay, a little too close to home, God. But let me go further. Let me try that again. That didn't work that time. I flip it over and I go, Psalm 38:7. "For my loins are full with loathsome disease, and there's no soundness in my flesh." No. Okay, wait. That's Old Testament. Let me try the New Testament. So I flip open and I go, boom. Matthew 27:5. "Judas went and hung himself." No. Okay, wait. Okay, that's the first try in the New Testament. Let me try again. Boom. Revelation. Okay, Revelation 6:16. "And said to the mountain and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." No. Listen, maybe when you first got saved, when you're first getting into the word, God will give you some confirmation. But there comes a point when we have to start being systematic and just reading through the Scripture as God intended it to be read. Pastor Randy, how can I know what God's will is? Well, it starts with obedience. Well, first you got to be saved. Okay. But once you're saved, now you walk in obedience. And then while you're walking in obedience, you continue in his word. So while you're in obedience and continuing in his word, then you will hear in prayer, and what you hear in prayer will be confirmed in scripture, and you'll know that that's the Lord leading you. So important. So many people are not walking in obedience, and they pray, and then they walk out into more disobedience, and they call it God. God's will. It's not. God will never, ever ask us to violate his word. Verse 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now think about this. Evidently, man, they've been riding for a while, but they are in the desert. I love that. Even in the desert, God can supply water. Sound familiar? Here we are. God brought me to the desert, but he made sure there was a river close by, because in the last year, we've baptized 99 people. And two baptisms, 49 and 50. That's awesome. God said, "Look, I'm going to bring you to dry land, but close to water so you can baptize some people." And I'm like, "Okay, Lord." But what is it else does it tell us? They've been riding for a while. Philip had time to tell them about Jesus, about the crucifixion, and he tells them about baptism. And some people go, "See, in order to be saved, you got to tell people about baptism." Oh, hold your horses. Stop. Collaborate and listen, okay? Verse 37. See, I told you, always songs, right? Verse 37. Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Notice there, he gives a prerequisite. Listen, baptism isn't salvation. He says, if you believe, then you are. If you're saved, you can be baptized. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." I love it. I love it. He says, "Yes, I believe. I believe Christ is the Son of God. Yes, I can be baptized. I am saved." It's an outward expression of something that happened on the inside. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can open your eyes to the truth. Now remember, Simon, the magician, he believed, but he didn't believe unto obedience. He believed because of the signs and the wonder and the power. Some people only believe in Jesus because they're afraid of hell. That's not a good reason to believe in Jesus. Well, let me take that back. That's a good reason to believe in Jesus. But that's just the beginning. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. True wisdom comes when you recognize that I can only be saved by embracing Christ. And in embracing Christ, hear me on this, means that if he is my Lord, I must obey his will. Otherwise, he's not Lord. But watch this. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, I looked at the structure of this, and, you know, some say, well, they went down into the water, but it seems to indicate that Philip went into the water with him. That's a funky baptism right there. He's like, "We're both going under. One, you're being baptized. I'm just being refreshed. We are in a desert." But let's look at the awe. Here it gets very interesting. Verse 39 through 40. And here you go. Now, when they came up out of the water. Now, I can't tell if this means they went down a little hill into the water and he baptized them, and then they came up out of the water. But it seems to indicate when they went in the water and then they came up out of the water, both of them, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, this word caught, the Lord caught Philip away. The word in the Greek is harpazo. And you go, "Yay, harpazo." No, in Latin, the word harpazo is rapturo. Yay, rapturo. No, that's where we get the word rapture from. Hopefully you know what the rapture is. That's where Christ comes for his bride, for the church. And we get caught up into the air in the twinkling of an eye. And, you know, oftentimes it's depicted in movies where planes are crashing and automobiles are going all awry and houses are burning and, you know, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. That kind of, I know, Ghostbusters, right? Gosh, I had a weird childhood. Okay, so. But this word, harpazo, so we're going, what in the world's going on here? Philip baptizes a guy. They come up. Philip is gone. Harpazo, raptured away. That the eunuch doesn't see him anymore. He's like, Philip, are you under there? Philip, he's not under there. Where'd he go? He harpazo. But notice this. And he went on his way rejoicing. Why? He just got saved. No doubt, this eunuch would continue reading Isaiah and go all the way to Isaiah 56. And in Isaiah 56, I'll let you do your own homework because we're almost out of time. It talks about a eunuch getting saved and rejoicing. So it started him in Isaiah talking about the Lamb, talking about Jesus. And then a couple of chapters later, it's talking about the eunuch himself. He's reading about himself in Isaiah. Check it out, Isaiah 56. I'll let you do that on your own. What a blessing. Because eventually he will. He's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I know he's not going to stop there. He's going to keep reading. And it's going to talk about the eunuch. And he's going to go, whoa, that's me. It's almost as if God had a plan. Philip, go over there. Okay. Oh, yeah, now you're here. That's the guy I want you to talk to, the eunuch. And he's reading in the perfect place for you. And, oh, yeah, he's going to get saved. And, oh, yeah, when you're done, I'm going to need you somewhere else. So we're going to just rapture you out of here. You won't have to walk. We'll just zap you over, beam you up. Beam you up, Scotty. Wow. So the eunuch has great joy in his life because he surrendered to God. Look what happens to Philip, verse 40. Because they didn't just beam him up. He ends up somewhere else. But Philip was found in Azotus, which is actually 20 miles north of Gaza. And passing through, what did he do? He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Wow. God zapped him, said, oh, yeah, I got more preaching for you to do. And he just keeps going. He keeps going, obviously being led by the Spirit. And then he stops in Caesarea. And by the way, we will not hear of Philip again until, write this down in your margin, Acts 21. I'm going to read this to you. Acts 21, verse 8 and 9. Just to show you how God works. How when you are led by God, it always leads to blessings, even if it seems difficult at the beginning. Watch this. This is where we hear of Philip again for the last time. Verse 8. And on the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to where? Caesarea. Where did Philip end? In Caesarea. And entered the house of Philip, the evangelist. Remember, he was a guy waiting on tables, but because of his faithfulness, God turned him into Philip the evangelist. Well, I pray to God that in heaven they think of Randy an evangelist. That's awesome. What an honor that would be to have that title of a person who leads people to Jesus. By the way, we're all called to do that, by the way. But look at this. It says, entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven who waited on the tables, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. How cool is that? Because he was a godly man, God led him eventually. He met a wife. He had daughters that kept themselves pure before the Lord, and God is even now speaking through his daughters. How cool is that? Listen. There is an invitation for you and I today, right now, to go God's way instead of our own way. and watch God's blessings. Maybe it's hard to go God's way because it goes against what I want. But in the long run, the blessings outweigh anything that I could have accumulated in the flesh. And so we see the eunuch blessed. And by the way, what do you think he would do when he gets back to Ethiopia and he's the second most powerful person in all the nation? He's going to preach Jesus. He's going to tell of his baptism. And all of that because of one guy who waited on tables but was obedient to God is now affecting a whole nation. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to go into a desert? I know we're in a desert, but I mean, walk in a direction. Do something that God wants you to do, even if you don't feel comfortable, even if it's in the opposite direction of where you are going now. Are you willing to die to yourself? Are you willing to be obedient to God? Are you willing to accept his invitation to watch his power move through your life? Or don't. But then when you're wondering, what does God have for me? Well, he had a lot for you. But you kept bypassing it. You kept missing the invitation. And maybe this morning, you're here like the Ethiopian. You've come from Tupac or Laughlin or Old Bullhead. You've come all the way here, you know, in your limo to find out, to get close to God. Listen, you can make this in here religious and legalistic, or you can make this about meeting Jesus Christ. It's solely and wholly up to you. So right now, as the worship team comes up, we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to look into your heart and ask yourself an honest question. Do I understand what was read today? Do I understand that Jesus Christ is knocking on the door of my heart? Am I willing to say, Jesus, come into my heart and then help me live for you, not for myself? Help me to bring you glory, not glory to myself. Help me to go the hard road, because at the end of the hard road is blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Let's pray. Father, I just come before you humbled. Grateful, unworthy, amazed, and Lord, just willing to yield my wants and desires to yours if it means that it will bring you glory, if it means that I will be walking in your ways and not my ways. And so this morning, I do pray for my brothers and sisters here. And I don't know if there's someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you came here searching. If you are searching and you want to receive Christ this morning, would you please raise your hand and say, that's me. I need Jesus this morning. I do not want to leave here dry. Praise the Lord over on the left side over there, my left side. Anyone else? Right here on the right. Anyone else? You feel him. He's tugging. He's calling you by name right now. He's saying, surrender to me. Turn your ways over to my way. I have better plans for you than you have. You have no idea. Not only that, I will take all your sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west. I will remember them no more and lighten your burden and refresh your soul. Bring you eternal life. Anyone else want to receive Christ this morning? Praise the Lord right here in the middle, up front. Anyone else? And perhaps you're saved, but you're dry. You know you're dry. You know you're doing your own thing. You know you should be saying, yes, Lord, I'll go the hard road. I'll go the difficult way. I'll die to myself. I'll do the things you want. And yes, I'm so wrapped up in me. And you want to relinquish that this morning. Would you please raise your hand and say, I'm going to start living for Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right here in front. Praise the Lord. A couple over there. Awesome. Back on the left side, my left side. Anyone else? You know, right here up front, praise God. You know you need to relinquish. You know you're focused on your ambitions, your goals, anyone else. Praise the Lord. And back there, praise the Lord. Awesome. Father, I thank you for the three that asked you to come into their lives. And Lord, I thank you for the 8 or 10 or however many that said they want to be refreshed and renewed. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for each one of us if we would just go your way. And so, Lord, help us to go your way. Oftentimes, Lord, the hard way is the highway. And the easy way is the low way. Lord, I don't want to be brought down low. Father, I want to be near you. So help us all, Lord, to be obedient. And so, Lord, bless my brothers and sisters that had the courage to raise their hand and help them to live the surrendered life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.